This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Pedlin Ron, and you're listening to Bicycle Talk. It's May 23rd, 2018. It's still bike month. That's a good thing. Welcome to Bicycle Talk, this week with my co-host, the lovely Fran Storch.
Hey.
A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, you can call or text us right now at 860-486-9487, or you can email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. Or if you're listening to this on podcast, you can send an email over to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can also visit and comment at Bicycle Talk on Facebook. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. Ron's rant of the week. Cell phone while riding your bike. Really? Really? Can't you put that away and go for a bike ride? Come on now. You don't need to do that, do you? So, you know, I see people, they're riding their bikes, and then the phone rings, and of course, Fran, she's on call, so she kind of gets a pass on this one, because, you know, being a doctor professional, I guess there are some times when you actually really do need to answer that phone, but really, while you're riding your bike, go ride your bike.
Well, two things. I have the cell phone set on a tray in front of me, and if I really need to talk to somebody badly, I need to pull over.
I know.
I agree with you.
And pulling over, great idea. But, I've seen people talking while they're riding.
And holding the phone to their ear.
And holding the phone to their ear.
See, that's dangerous.
Yeah. So in a study done on cell phones and cycling, 88% of participants stated that they themselves were the ones making the calls on their cell phones rather than picking up a received call.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
Out of all the participants, nearly half, 42%, stated that they were faced with a dangerous situation while talking on the phone and cycling. During the study, talking on the phone resulted in missing more objects in the road and swerving outward to obtain more side space. Doing these things while riding on the road shared with cars can increase the risk of bicycling accidents. This is kind of a no-brainer. Here's another one. Texting while riding your bicycle was the most profound effect on cycling performance. Even cyclists themselves tend to slow down about 2 miles per hour when texting, as opposed to the normal cycling speed of 10 to 15 miles per hour. The study done on distracted driving, however, shows that since riders slowed their bikes, less bicycling accidents took place. Researchers believe that this is because while texting is distracting, riders were aware of this fact and compensated, making it safer for them. All right, enough of that, cell phones on the bike. There's additional discussion on Facebook. If you'd like to go to the Facebook page, please leave your comments. I'd love to hear them. I always love to hear them. On a positive side, bike to work week. Did you ride your bike to work last week? Did you ride bike to school last week? That's a good thing, right? Hopefully you all got out there. Hopefully you all did it. And if you didn't, maybe you set something in your brain so that, I'm going to ride my bike more. I'm going to ride my bike to work. Deal with the traffic in a very different way. I have a little piece of humor here on the positive side, too. A pair of cyclists got quite a scare on Monday when a protected mother moose tried to drive them off a bike trail in Anchorage, Alaska. The footage was caught on camera by a local news station, KTVA. One cyclist can be seen dropping to the ground as the moose lunged toward them, and the moose had her twin calves close behind. Don't want to get between a moose and her calves. The news crew took action and drove their car into the pathway between the moose and the fallen cyclist. No injuries reported. You want to see it? Just too much fun. It's on my Facebook page. Go to Bicycle Talk. Go to the Facebook page. It's a great little video. It's funny. It's, not something you see every day. The maintenance minute, what to do with your bicycle after you've been riding it in the rain. Okay. Rain is not good for your bike. I mean, your bike can handle it. It can deal with it. But you know what? You're going to get caught in the rain. It happens. It always happens. So what do you do with your bike when you get, if you've been out riding in the rain? Well, you get it back to the house, apartment, whatever it is, wherever you live. I like to take a 5-gallon bucket or some sort of a bucket and either a paintbrush or a toilet brush and just kind of go over the whole thing, get all the sand and grit off of it. And then you really should take an old rag, maybe an old towel or something, and just towel it dry and, be nice to it, Let the chain dry off really good, and then you will need to relubricate that chain probably if you've been riding in the rain. So that's my maintenance minute talk, what to do after riding in the rain. Be nice to your bike. Bikes are good. We've got to take care of them. All right. One more thing here I want to cover. I have a couple of guests here, but I want to just go over the Giro d'Italia. Anybody been watching the Giro? Oh, boy, what a great race. Oh, my God, it's down to the wire right now. There's been, you know, horrible hills. There's been wonderful things going on. Chris Froome won a stage. Oh, my God, he looks awful on his bike. But then again, we all feel that he looks awful on his bike. Anyway, as a matter of fact, I think it was stage 14 that he won. And he just, you know, you could tell it was him because he just stands out from the crowd. His arms are all over the place and his shoulders are flopping around. And man, that guy can move a bike. Anyway, the good news was that Simon Yates kind of held his own on that one, ended up putting some serious time on. And now Simon Yates is still in first place as of stage 17, which is today, which has a couple of interesting pieces on it, including some 16% grades, short and steep, but definitely there. So we'll see the results of that afterwards. There's going to be a big sprint finish going in there too, and the profile just looks lovely, like a really steep, horrible start, and on it goes. So anyway, the Giro is, it is, like I said, it is way down to the wire here. We're at stage 17. We've got 21 stages. Simon Yates is in first place by 56 seconds to Tom Dumoulin. And Tom Dumoulin really did some damage on him at the time trial yesterday and really reeled him in a lot, but he's still 56 seconds behind. The next closest rider is 3 minutes and more behind. So anyway, it's been a great Giro. If you're into bicycle racing, I'll stop now. I need to get on to my guests. They're getting bored, I can tell. So we're going to move forward here. And I have a couple of guests here. Very interesting. I ran into these guys up at Southbridge Bicycles up in Southbridge. And big shout out to John. Yay, John. John's a good guy. So anyway, he said, you need to meet these girls. These girls are great. I love these girls. And so these are two bikes, two girls, two bikes, 50 states is what they call themselves. You can go to their website and it is two girls, two bikes, 50states.com. And those are all numbers that go along with that. And you get to learn a little bit more about Dale. And this is Aquilano. Did I get that right?
Aquilano James.
Aquilano, yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Rachel Bubbs.
Yep.
Good Rachel morning. Bubbs. Good morning to you both. All right. So they are my guests on the show today. And first, I'm gonna start with Dale first. And I'm going to say, let's say, Dale, can you remember your very first experience on your bicycle?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, on my road bike, I sure can. And it involved having no idea how to clip in and out. Mm-hmm. I think I resembled a 7-year-old in the summertime with scraped knees, and there was definitely a garbage can involved, looking down to make sure I was doing it right. And so, yeah, but just kept going.
So you got canned.
I did. I definitely got canned. Yes.
Ba-dum-bump.
Ba-dum-bump. There you go. Cha-ching. And Rachel, tell me about your first.
My first experience was with my neighbors who I grew up with their daughter, and I had been going from mailbox to mailbox on my street trying to clip in, and they were going out for a bike ride and said, come on, you're going with us, and stuck me in between the two of them. So basically I was riding with my parents, just not my parents.
Right.
And it was the best experience ever because I learned everything from the two of them on exactly what to do. Was a little scared at certain points because of the cars, and Christy was very vocal, and mm-hmm. you know, so I almost didn't want to go back out with them, but I got back on the next day and went out with them the next day.
Great way to learn is from someone who knows what they're doing.
Exactly.
It really makes a big difference. There's a lot of value
difference.
In that. Mm-hmm. So, Dale, how long have you been riding?
About a little over 10 years.
Okay. And Rachel?
I started in 2011. March of 2011 is when I bought my first road bike.
All right. All right. So you have this thing, and this is what brought you onto the show. Well, it's not all brought you on the show, but two bikes. This is, we're using numbers here. Two bikes, two girls, two bikes, 50states.com. I keep getting that backwards. What is this?
Yeah.
Tell me what's going on here.
I know. So it's recent. It's our baby. So Rachel and I met back in 2012 at the Cape Cod Getaway Bike MS Ride. And we'd been on Team Velux Rota together for a while. And we've known each other for a while, but really started to ride together more last year. And we decided with some fundraising we've done and our ambitious goal of continuing our love and our passion for cycling to see if we could take it to every state. And so this past October in Southbridge with John, we really kind of started putting it together and mapping out what the next few years would be like, what states we would go to, how we would do this. And by April, we had it down. We had the website up. We've started, our first ride was in Texas, and it's all for multiple sclerosis.
So you have just begun this journey then.
Yeah, this is literally, it's when I said baby, it's
okay.
It's so baby.
We actually wiped our map clean because we both have been riding. I started in 2011, Dale 2012, and I had been to a few more states. So just a little background. We're both passport riders with the National MS Society and Bike MS.
What does that mean?
So that means when you raise $5,000, so we both raised $5,000 last year for the Cape Cod Getaway. So in 2018, we have our passports. So we can ride on behalf of the Greater New England Chapter in any Bike MS ride in 2018 on behalf of GNE, Greater New England National MS Society chapter. So I've been a passport rider since I started, raising over $5,000 every year. And in September of 2017, I did the Alabama Challenge and Tour de Beach, which is a 5-day, 450-mile bike ride. And it was one of the greatest accomplishments that I've ever, even more special than running a half marathon. And I said to Dale afterwards in September, you gotta do this with me, but I want to ride another state because I've done Alabama. So having my passport, I want to take advantage of it. And that's when really, when we went, as Dale said, when we went to go see John, it was really for getting new bike trainers.
Yeah, that was
It was kind of what it was, and I was beginning my look for new bikes, and John and I had been talking about what I was going to get and everything like that, and we kind of came up with the 50 rides, 50 states, 5 years. And that really was something that started in October, the 50 rides, 50 states, 5 years.
Yeah.
Well, Dale and I went in to trade bike trainers. I was purchasing my new one and I was looking at bikes, but I walked out empty handed with not buying a new bike. And
I had one.
And Dale bought her new bike.
Yeah, I did.
not in preparation to go do so. And she pulled the trigger and ended up with a brand new
Live Avail.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you're riding on giant bicycles.
Yep, then. Giant.
Correct.
Now.
Mm-hmm. Live is the women's specific line for giant.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I test rode a Live, but I had my heart set on a Pinarello. It's just
I know why.
Those
Italian bikes.
There's
something about them.
Yes, exactly. But I left after being on that Live, and I fell in love with the Envy. And that's what I ended up purchasing. I purchased the Live Envy, which is their aero bike. And that's really both of us buying brand new Live bikes is what really kind of created me saying to Dale, come up with a blog name. You're the creative one. I'm the organized one. You come up with the blog name. And she goes, two girls, two bikes, 50 states.
And like, that's all I got.
There you go.
Ding, ding, ding. Here we are.
Here we are today.
Here we are.
I think you got it. It sounds really good. I have also, if you're curious to know more about this, I have also highlighted this on my Facebook page on Bicycle Talk. So you can click on that and it'll bring you right over to your page.
Awesome.
And you get to see you guys. As well as just hearing the voices here, you get to actually see you. And that big, big, big picture you have on the front, that's great. It's cool.
Thanks.
It's very cool. Are you the webmaster? Are you the web person?
No, so, I am not.
No.
I am.
Rachel
She's
is.
She's the web. Yeah.
Okay. It's Rachel.
It's me. Yeah. Dale's a little more occupied with her day job.
Yeah.
Oh. Jobs are tough.
Yeah.
They do
But
that.
I do the social media. So we have Instagram. We're working on Twitter.
Pinterest,
right?
Facebook.
Obviously on Facebook. Yep.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Cool. So 50 states. That's 5 years. You know, that's going to go by very quickly. You guys, I hope you have a calendar in front of you.
We have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how many have you done so far?
One.
Yeah. So
you got a ways to go here.
With Texas.
Yeah.
In April.
How many do you plan on accomplishing this year?
We are between 13 and 15. We're making a final decision with Tennessee and Kentucky, which would be in October. So we actually, our course of the year picks back up again in a week and a half in Connecticut. So if anybody wants to join us here locally in Connecticut, it's the Bike MS ride. It's called Praxar Off the Chain, and it is based out of Windsor, Connecticut.
I was going to ask if that was the one out of Windsor.
Yeah, it is the one out of Windsor. Mm-hmm. And it actually happens to be the day after our very large fundraiser that we are putting on to support this ambitious goal that we have, because both of us need to raise over $5,000 in order for us to continue this journey. So we're putting on Corks for MS on June 2nd at Maximum Beverage in West Hartford on North Main Street.
Oh, so there's a non-bicycling side of you, I see.
Yeah. Ron, come on. You know that all cyclists have their other side to them.
Oh, yeah.
Balance.
You know,
it usually has something to do with either food or beverage. Yes.
It tends to be on the beer side, but Dale and I tend to go the wine side. And Maximum Beverage has actually been supporting us for the last 3 years. So it was just fitting to have an event at their liquor store, right there in the courtyard. So that's on June 2nd. And then we're all going out and riding in the Bike MS ride on June 3rd together. So hey, Ron, if you want to ride with us, join our team. We have you covered if you want to ride with us.
Yeah.
I'll keep that in mind. Is that a weekend that we're available for, Ann, or is that?
We'll talk.
Exactly. Our calendar is uncomfortably full, because I'm doing all these announcings
this year.
So I have to take a look and see.
Cool.
So
understandable.
But anyway, because, you know, those rides that you're doing, I'm part of putting those on. So, you know, I'm on the other end of that. So we're busy.
Mm-hmm.
We're busy. Mm-hmm. We travel a lot too. But anyway, if it's free, I will certainly look into it and check it out. So you would have to have some fundraising involved beyond. I guess that's just for MS, what you're doing for MS.
Correct.
Because you also have to kind of transport yourself to these places too, right?
We do.
Now, that passport, does that have any benefit for that?
The benefit that it has is that we don't register and we don't fundraise for those out of state rides. But 2 weeks prior to leaving for Texas, Dale and I decided, with a little push from our surroundings, to start seeing if people wanted to sponsor us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we're just humbled by the sponsorships that we have.
Yeah, it's great.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah.
But JetBlue flies our bike for free.
Yep.
Really?
So,
yeah.
Wow. Nobody flies bikes for free anymore.
No.
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 So
no.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good plug for them because, you know, we used to be able to fly our bikes for free everywhere. And, you know, it's just increased and increased and increased. And it's just, it's unfortunate because you're like penalized for being an athlete. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, times change. Whoa. Things change. So,
indeed.
We just have to do what we do anyway. To get your bike there's other ways of transporting your bike too. You can always, there's a lovely place you can check out, which is called Bike Flights, and you can check with them and see how they can transport your bike for you. So that's another possibility, but that's probably the best way to go for that I've seen so far. So
Bike Flights is awesome. They're the ones that flew my bike for me.
They do a really good job.
During Harvey last year down to Alabama. Mm. So they're awesome.
Yeah, they're very good. There's a friend of mine is doing an event and is transporting his bike with there's a tri bike service too that brings bikes to triathlons, and there's a service that is out there to bring your bike complete and ready to go, and then they tune it up and have it ready for you when you get there, which is kind of cool. So there are some services out there, which is nice. But the airlines are kind of the last resort as far as that goes. It's cheaper, I think, to buy a ticket for the seat for your bike than it is in other ways. But anyway, let's see here. So what determines an avid cyclist, you? Because I'm going to put you guys, I think you're totally an avid cyclist land, but if you were to, I mean, your friends must think you're nuts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Because you got to ride your bikes a lot to do this. Yeah, I mean, you got to train for this.
We got to train.
It's not something you just like, you know, pick up a bike and go, you know what? I can do this. I'm just going to go out and do it. It's not one of those things, right?
Although I didn't really train this past winter due to family stuff. Mm. Dale and I only had about 75 miles outdoors in combination between the two of us.
Ouch.
Yeah. I mean, well, this winter was just brutal.
Prior to Texas.
You need to hook up with me. I ride 7 days a week indoors. I've got classes I teach all winter long.
We both do, but I had other priorities this winter.
Yeah. I understand. Life gets in the way.
No, it does.
But last winter, I rode 7 days a week pretty much, so mm-hmm. indoors. Mm-hmm. So to answer you about avid cyclist and what our friends think of us.
What would you say is an avid cyclist?
I would say the passion to be outdoors riding, mm-hmm. You know, whether it's a mountain biker or a road cyclist, mm-hmm. Or a trail rider. I mean, you know, being outdoors and just riding and putting in your miles, enjoying yourself, the camaraderie of being with other people. You don't have to be a racer.
No.
You don't have to have a direct specialty, but I think a cyclist is someone that just puts the time and effort and enjoys it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. That camaraderie is really cool. Well, we're all like-minded. You know, we all like to ride our bikes. So,
right.
So it's not hard to strike up a conversation amongst us because that's what we talk about.
No, we love it.
Riding our bikes. It's funny. We spent the weekend with a couple down in Virginia for the for this ride that we did down there, this event that we did down there. And there were two things that you'll appreciate. One was that their doormat said something about the wine. What was it that was on the doormat, Fran? Do you remember that?
We hope you brought wine.
Yeah, we hope you brought wine. So wine was definitely a theme behind these two, but they were also avid cyclists, which we're going back to. They ride their bikes a lot. They love to ride their bikes. And they're also going to be opening a bike and bed out of their house, which is kind of a it's like a B&B for people who ride bikes.
That's awesome.
Cool. And very, very cool.
Great. So when you're ready to go to Virginia, we'll set you up with them.
Shout out to Kevin and Alice in
Strasburg, Virginia.
Virginia. Awesome. They were wonderful hosts. We had a great time. And Kevin, who claims to be an introvert, is far from it when you start talking about bicycles.
Nice. Aren't we all?
That's an avid cyclist, I think, too. Yeah.
So anyway, so there's that connection of the, the corks and the bicycles there. So there you go. Excellent. See, so it doesn't have to be beer.
It doesn't.
So, and then there's some of us that just don't drink beer anymore because beer and I don't agree. So, oh, well, so much for that. Why MS? Any particular reason why you latched on to the MS rides?
I'll be quick because Rachel has more of a personal story, but it's a terrible disease.
I think
that it's an area that a lot of advocacy and access to programs and care is needed, and so mm-hmm. it was just something that I thought for me to contribute to and to be part of that cause, would just be nice to give back.
Yeah. Nice.
So,
Rachel, personal?
Yeah.
My sister-in-law has MS, and so I wanted to do something pretty big. I have a pretty bad hashtag. It was really what's in my mind. And I didn't own a road bike, but we had done a walk MS ride, and I really just am not into walking 5Ks. Mm-hmm. So I registered for my first Cape Cod getaway to do something for my sister-in-law, and it's grown from there.
And I noticed on your website and your blog, you mentioned her name is Amy. Is that correct?
Yeah. It is.
Yeah. Wow. It's when you know someone who's, close to you who has the disease, it really opens your eyes, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah. And just to kind of go with the flow to tie that back into the whole two girls, two bikes, 50 states, Dale started, with the advocacy part of it. I started with the direct connection, but combined together, the two of us have this growing champion bandana. So we're now riding for multiple people. And wherever we go, if we meet someone, we add their name to our champion bandana. Mm-hmm. And you can see that on our blog. You can see that on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. You can see that on our Instagram page,
too. It is
on
Instagram as well. Yeah.
But it's who we will ride for anyone who has MS, whether it's in memory of someone or it's
to honor someone.
We have people that will say, can you ride for my aunt or can you ride for so and so? And we add their name.
Okay.
We add their name to our bandana, and so it's no longer just advocacy for Dale at this point.
It's
no longer just my sister-in-law.
Yeah, it's getting it is getting personal.
So I have a friend who, my friend Bruce, who his wife has MS and has had it for years, and they're avid cyclists. They've been riding for years, and then she was diagnosed with it. And it started making it more difficult for her to ride. So they ride on the tandem now. And she feels so much better when she rides. Mm-hmm. So there's, it actually helps her. And she goes through phases. Sometimes she'll be really bad, and then other times she'll be pretty good, not in too bad a shape, but they kind of go in waves and all. But Bruce has taken it upon himself to take her out and just ride with her all the time on the back of the tandem, which is a great way of doing it. Yeah. So it's kind of cool.
That's great.
That is pretty awesome because we have friends that ride with one of our friendly competitor teams for the Cape Cod Getaway, Peps Peddlers. And Joe and Josie Benassi, they ride tandem also. Josie is one of our champions, and they're a wonderful couple. And I always joke with Joe, I'm gonna switch places with him. He can ride my bike, and I'm going to ride with Josie on the tandem.
There you go. It's not that easy.
No, it you have to be in sync.
Yeah. I got to tell you, it's not that easy.
No.
You may not talk to each other.
Yeah,
right?
I barely can keep in sync with this girl while we're actually riding out on the road.
Yeah. Yeah. Is she a monster on the bike? Is that?
Inconsistent.
She's inconsistent, yeah. And I tend to lead most of the time.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
She's a powerhouse, though.
Okay. So what do you guys do to train?
This past winter, I took a cycling class at my gym that was 2 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
I trained with power this winter. And right. then I, the other days of the week was on my trainer and I used, the Trainer Road app.
Okay. I don't know that one, yeah, but there's a lot of them out there.
Yeah, there are. So bunch. It's similar to a lot of the other apps. There's different training plans you can do, triathlon, climbing, century, TT, right. whatever, mountain bike. So I did that training with power.
So you're using a power meter when you're training, or you have a way of metering it on the bike at the gym?
Yeah, yeah.
The bikes I teach at the gym, they all have power, and ours at the gym
had power, so yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
That. Yeah,
they aren't Kaiser great. Bikes by any chance, are they?
No, forget what they are, but no, okay. I definitely okay. not that. Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
What gym are you at?
I work out at Lifetime, right outside of Boston.
Okay,
in the Metro West. Lifetime.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I think the indoor training, if done correctly, can give you an incredible advantage when you get on the road. It really, really does help.
Yeah.
And then the big thing that people say, well, how do you do that? Well, it's really easy for me to do it. I have to teach it, so I'm there all the time.
Right.
But to stay motivated, you really have to set yourself up with at least 3 days a week that mm-hmm. you're focused on going and doing this and maybe doing the hard effort those 3 days, not all in a row.
No.
I've seen all the mistakes you could possibly imagine, believe me. It really makes getting back on the road again a lot better. Fran rode with me all winter long indoors,
and
she's in great shape right now. I can't remember what our friends down in Virginia called her, maybe a beast or something. I don't know what it was, but they
yeah,
made
it was beast
comment.
Or animal or monstrous one of those.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Not really. Okay.
Yeah,
creatures.
No, she's tough. She's tough for
awesome.
Sure. But it makes a big difference. And then when you get on the road and we can tell who's been training and who hasn't.
You know,
when you go out for that first bike ride and you can pretty much pick out the ones that were focused on doing something over the winter, even if it was going out for fitness walks that were really aggressive, whatever, anything, you could totally see the difference between those that sat still and those did
Definitely.
Not. So when you get into season, of course, the weather gets nicer.
Right.
So that's a bonus. How often do you read or do you ride in a week?
Right now for me, it's been tough with work, but I usually get up. I've been doing Monday through Friday, a couple days here and there. I'll do an early morning ride. So I'll get up at like 4:45 and I'll go to the, I like to call it like the pain cave, which is my basement where my bike is on the trainer. But what I do, cause I just get sick of being in the basement too, is that some days I'll do, I'll go to the gym and do a spin class, but, I do a lot of, I do some lifting as well.
Yeah.
Several days a week, stability, legs, and then also core and upper body. That's been really helpful.
Really?
Yeah.
Really, yeah. Fran's like really into the whole core upper body thing. She really thinks it makes a big difference. So your primary training is not outside on the road then?
It hasn't. I mean, now that it's getting nicer, it'll start to switch and I'll probably start doing rides in the evenings. But I mean, we just, yeah, we
we had a bad spring.
So I hadn't
background. So April, it was like 34 degrees. We were still riding inside, and we went to Texas. Little shock to the system with the 88 degree.
I would think, yeah.
Yeah. You guys can see our tan lines here.
Yeah, so
that's from one weekend in Texas,
right? Yeah. And I think Fran's got the same thing from this past weekend.
Yeah, you've got it. Yeah,
yeah, she's got it. It's
that time of year.
It's that badge of honor that you have good solid farmer tan on.
Exactly, really legs good, too.
Yeah, legs too.
I've got the sock one going too.
Oh, yeah, you got the sock one.
The
there
ankle.
You go.
Yeah,
yeah.
What was it? Oh yeah, so Texas. So we get down to Texas. When we left, I think it was snowing. Flurries in Boston.
Yep.
Great.
So we get down to Texas like 88 degrees both days.
Ooh.
Sun beating down. Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of a rude awakening.
We forgot we were that much closer to the equator too.
So
sun's a little higher in the sky.
Just a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. And so what really also kind of took us out for a little bit was we got sick on the way coming back from Texas to Boston. So
two days later,
we flew.
Oh.
I had the flu.
So it wasn't sick from too much wine or...
No, not that kind.
Too much hot Tex-Mex? No.
I had the flu and strep throat.
Yeah.
You should have had the Tex-Mex because that would have burned anything that was in you out.
We did. What is it called? Texas?
Interior Mexican, it was called. That's some Austin, Texas lingo, apparently. Interior Mexican. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Could have been the voodoo donuts.
Donuts.
No, don't ruin it. That wasn't the donuts.
It was the woman sitting on the plane in front of us that was coughing
the whole time. And
you were in the giant petri tube.
Yeah.
Right.
I just kept saying, why don't you cover your mouth? Why don't you drink some water?
Yeah.
As she's studying medical stuff on her laptop.
Yeah, so that was interesting. And
it's probably in med school.
Yeah, I think so. And then the airplanes aren't, I noticed this recently, but like airplanes aren't as cold as they used to be, because that would help kill the, I heard that from someone who has a master's in public health. But anyway, it was all warm and recycled air. And even, I sat there and was like, don't touch your face. Don't even itch your nose. Like, don't do anything. But
Yeah, well, it's an
so that took us for like what a week and a half.
Yeah, that air's recycling anyway, you're getting the droplets.
Yeah,
it's just going off into your system,
right?
Airplanes and schools, the school kids are like great little transmitters.
Oh yeah,
of every
absolutely.
Disease out
yeah,
there.
If that happens to you, you really need to be on the plane, and you want to have an herbal throat spray that has like something like echinacea, propolis.
Writing it down.
golden seal in it. And you want to keep doing the throat spray while that's happening, and you want to have a nasal spray as well. And the nasal spray, you could do either one with, but you probably want to have a couple. One with xylitol in it, like X-Clear, or you want to do the one with grapefruit seed extract in it. And you just want to keep doing that. Because it's really hard to do a neti pot while you're on the plane.
Yeah, that's...
Or gargle. So you want to sit there with the throat spray and the nasal spray.
Does the neti pot make it through security? No, I'm just kidding.
Because chamois butter does it.
No,
Or topical edge.
Or CO2 cartridges. I still can't believe I did that. I left them in.
Yeah, you don't want... Yeah, CO2 cartridges.
It's like, why am I getting
very
am I getting pulled over? Yeah. Oh my god, I can't believe I did that.
That one's obvious.
Yeah,
chamois butter. Forgot. Really?
Well, we brought the big tube.
That's why too big.
Yeah.
So those TSA guys.
And we had two brand new bottles of also the Topical Edge PR lotion,
because
Topical Edge is sponsoring us as well.
Yeah.
Chamois butter is also. Mm. So we had a brand new tube of chamois butter and two brand new tubes of Topical Edge. And
note to sell smaller containers.
Yeah, someone
next time.
Note
someone
to
had a
self,
good day
Rachel.
In TSA that day.
Rachel cried a little at a, and I almost went back out of security and checked my bag. But thankfully, we have our small packs, and we just note to self that we pack those tubes in our checked bags now now on.
Lesson
right,
learned.
Right,
yeah.
Right. There you go.
It's never a dull moment with Dale and I. Whether it's on the bike, whether it's traveling, no matter where we are, it's an adventure with the two of us.
Yeah.
And we share everything on our blog.
Yep, it's all there.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Even being sick and everything else, we post everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're the TMI girls.
Yeah. I mean,
okay. We don't cross the line on certain things.
We like to keep it somewhat classy, but when we say follow our adventures, like that's you're gonna be on our you're gonna be with us on some adventures. I mean, for sure.
good. That's good. So. Well, these are great life stories, though. You know, you'll carry these with you for the rest of your life, and it's a good thing. I'm looking at your list here of 2018. So you did the Austin one. You got the Windsor one coming up. This one in Rhode Island and Providence on June 9th and 10th.
Yeah.
Now, how long are these rides when you ride these rides?
So most of them are called Bike MS 150 rides.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be give or take 2 days, 75 miles. Houston to Austin happened to be 100 miles day one and 60 day two.
Mm-hmm.
It ended up being 162 miles in total.
So roughly, it's going to be a two-day event, and it's going to be about 150 miles.
Correct.
Roughly,
so Connecticut,
that's a lot of riding.
Connecticut and New Hampshire are one-day rides.
Mm-hmm.
We have the option to do 100 miles on day for Connecticut, but. Mm-hmm. With the fundraiser the day before, I'm going to kindly tell Dale if she wants to do it.
I'm shaking my head no.
And then New Hampshire is 62 miles.
Okay.
That's a metric century.
Sure.
But all the other, and New York, that's a one-day ride also that my brother is actually going to be riding with us. He and a friend have already claimed that they're doing 100 miles, and I said, I'll see you at the finish line because I'll be most likely doing 50 unless I'm feeling awesome and Dale and I say let's do 100.
We'll see what happens.
To give you some light on the Windsor one, it there's a lot of flat sections on that ride.
I've done this ride for 5 years.
Oh, you know that one.
I've done the 100-mile ride, which I got lost on my very first century and ended up doing 118 miles for my very first century ride.
Wow.
That's a little more.
And the rest stops were empty of stuff, so I cramped. But that's okay. I learned my lesson to just keep more safety stash in my pocket.
Carry food with you all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. And we're sponsored by Scratch.
We are.
Apps, so
so that's, where not, we're stocked. That's not an issue.
We don't
hydration.
Have an issue with hydration.
No. Yeah.
They've got us covered.
But
you need to get everything back in.
So important.
It's
correct.
Amazing what a difference it makes.
And
if
by
you just
the
stay
way,
on top of it.
When we had the flu or when we were sick, Scratch was
Scratch was our recovery.
Scratch was great.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you're putting electrolytes back in.
Exactly.
You know, and obviously if you had the flu, electrolytes were coming out. So I guess that would be a bonus, definitely.
Well, but Ron, you're right. Windsor is decently flat.
It's pretty flat.
Yeah.
I think there's one section of it you actually go up into the Granville Gorge or whatever up in Massachusetts. They don't do that anymore?
No.
Oh, okay.
They haven't done that since 2013.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they used to go up there.
It goes out
towards... It's real pretty up there, but...
It goes out towards Agawam.
Oh,
right.
Now you're real flat.
So it's kind of like the Erase Ride.
Right.
It's the Erase Ride... does more of the 50-mile part of the Windsor ride.
Yes.
The Windsor Bike MS ride goes over the bridge out towards, like, Summers and
goes over, across the bridge at Broadbrook,
flat farmland.
Uh-huh.
And every year that I've done the Century Ride, the winds are crazy. And out there, it's open fields.
Oh, yeah. You know, people think, oh, it's a flat ride, great. But you don't take into effect that if it's really flat and it's not heavily treed,
wind.
You are going to deal with
big
wind.
Time.
Or yeah. as we like to call them, the Florida Hills.
Yes.
because that's the problem you have down in Florida is that it's a peninsula.
Correct.
Anywhere you ride on the coast, you have that problem.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, great, it's a flat ride. It's on the coast.
Yeah, like that New Hampshire ride that you did, right?
Yes, the Seacoast Century.
Seacoast Century.
Yeah,
it's like
dead
the
flat.
Biking at Seacoast on Route 1 along the water.
And then you're so one direction or the other, or sometimes both directions, you're dealing with some sort of a wind that's hitting.
That you can't get away from.
Yeah, you can't get away from. I'll take the hills any day. Oh, give me the hills any day.
Well, that's what we're looking forward to in Florida when we do the PGA Tour Cycle to Shore Bike MS ride. It's literally on the water in October, and we end up in Daytona Beach.
Nice.
You're going north to south, I hope?
North to south, yes. And then we're turning around and then going south to north on day
not
two.
So good. Not so good. Yeah. Yeah, that north, that south to north is not going to be pleasant if the weather is doing what it normally does that time of year.
Right, because usually it's a north wind on the coast, yeah.
So that's... Fall. That is your
that's October, next to last one,
October 13th and 14th.
Well, our schedule changed a little, Ron, from when we posted it up on our website because we're actually doing North Carolina and South Carolina in December.
Yeah.
Because that ride was canceled through the Bike MS ride. So we are doing Finish MS for North Carolina and South Carolina. And just to tell you about Finish MS, some states don't have a Bike MS ride currently, and in order for us to get all 50 rides in all 50 states, we are utilizing the Finish MS program, which you can ride in any organized MS ride or do-it-yourself MS ride, and that's what we're doing. So we are going to create our – we're going to Google – or use Map My Ride or any of the different riding programs that we can pull up a route and go ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, Map My Ride or Ride with GPS, you can pretty much find
anything.
Anything, anywhere, because there's going to be people like me that post on those all the time.
Right.
And
you'll
see. If you go on to my current go-to has been Ride with GPS. And if you look up Pedalin' Ron on that, you'll find a lot of rides.
Perfect.
Because I do a lot of rides. Plus, I'm involved with a fundraiser ride that's coming up in August that's here. And then there's a I don't have anything to do with the – our local club has a ride, a 100-mile ride also, but I'm not involved with the routes on that. But we have great roads. If you guys need some training miles, you should come ride with me.
I love the roads up here.
Yeah, they're really, really beautiful out here. It's really special. It really is. And, you know, I talked to John up at Southbridge Bikes, and he said they often ride south. They ride into Connecticut because
the
roads
that,
are just so nice down here.
So every time that I go up, and one of the guys on our Team Vlogs Rota, and I'm going to shout out First Response, who is one of Team Vlogs Rota's sponsors, Steve and Mary Beth, host Dale and I, prior to all of our rides that we have to take an airplane, and you know, Steve drives us to the airport at, you know, whatever o'clock hour it is.
Big shout out.
But Steve and I meet halfway at Southbridge, one to visit John, but two, it's convenient, it's in the middle, and the roads are new for us out there, and going into Woodstock, and
isn't it beautiful?
It's turned into, like, my favorite area, but I would love to come even further south from Woodstock down to here.
Oh, talk to me.
Because
talk to me. Fran and I will take you out for great rides out here. We have rides. We have just roads that just, they wind and go back and forth and up and down, and you're going.
And we know where the good cafes are.
We know where the good cafes
are. That's the most important
thing.
Which
is a very important part of the ride.
Yes.
And then we know where the roads are that cars don't generally travel on. So that's the key point right there.
Those are your best roads.
Roads with names, not numbers.
Yes.
That's my motto. So
I like that.
Yeah, it works.
That's awesome.
It works. Yeah, that's the way to do it. So we could show you some great rides,
cool.
You know, if you guys want to come out and
we
ride
would love
sometime.
To.
Yeah, definitely.
It'll be good. It'll be good.
Because
you're not that far away. Well, you're in Boston.
Like right outside.
Right
so
outside.
It's about an hour
What town do you live in?
Framingham.
Framingham.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're not that far away.
No.
Yeah, yeah. I can almost get to Framingham in like an hour and 20 minutes, yeah. I think, maybe. And I'm in Framingham. So it's not too bad. And where are you, Rachel?
I'm in Bloomfield.
You're in Bloomfield, Connecticut.
Connecticut.
Oh, so you're here. Okay.
I am.
So you're not that far away.
No.
Also not that far away. So a little bit more of a
40.
Drive for you, but, you know, we should do that. We should do that. We'll go off for a ride.
Yeah. Absolutely. We'd love that.
I have a rule. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bring
I'll
it.
Ride with you. I won't ride against you, and I expect the same from you.
Deal. There's no race.
Ron's rule number 5. Absolutely.
Deal.
That number changes by the day.
You know, it depends on what I'm. Yeah, I know. I think I've been stating it as number 5 for a while now, though. I think it's starting to get firm.
Can you rattle off 1 through 4?
No.
I didn't think so.
Okay.
No racing.
No.
No. Not allowed.
No, not allowed.
No racing, no pace pushing, no.
Half-wheeling.
No half-wheeling. Oh, I had a rant 1 week about half-wheeling. Do you know what half-wheeling is? They're looking at me with a blank stare.
Because they don't do it, maybe.
Well, or they don't know. They may not know.
Okay, so tell them what half-wheeling is.
Here's half-wheeling, and then we're going to have to wrap up here because we're running out of time.
Okay.
So half-wheeling is when you're riding alongside of another cyclist, and as you're riding along, you creep forward on them. So your handlebar is now in front of their handlebar. And you are, and then that person who you're riding with feels compelled to come up and meet that handlebar so that they can, you know, chat with you and all. And then they do it again, and they do it again, and they do it again. And it is as annoying gets. And
because the person who's doing it is being competitive.
They're being just that, got to get ahead of you, got to get ahead of you.
No.
Now, I was also told by a person once who I called him out big time for half wheeling, and he was like, "Oh, I just get too nervous when I ride alongside someone." And I said, "Well, let's get over it now. Let me teach you how to ride alongside someone so you're not nervous, and because it's way safer also to ride directly side by side than it is to half wheel. Because if you half wheel, you have the opportunity to put your handlebar in behind the other person's handlebar, and everybody goes down in a big mess.
That's not good.
So half wheeling is taboo. So." Anyway,
we like to ride side by side.
Side by
side
is good.
We don't get to
do it
very
often. You get to talk when you do that, and that's really nice. And, you know, a lot of laws, like here in the state of Connecticut, you can ride side by side as long as there's 200 yards of vision front to back. It's legal. It's totally legal.
Hmm.
And so it's not illegal to ride side by side. And the better you get at riding side by side, of course, the straighter you can go down the road, and it's much easier for cars to pass. And anyway, it all gets safer all around. We just ate up an hour just like that. How about that? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing
flew.
How that works?
That's fun.
So I kind of have to wrap this up, and it was just awesome to have you guys here. Dale and Rachel, they're two girls, two bikes, 50 states. Go check them out. Go to my Bicycle Talk Facebook page. You'll find a link there for them. And check out what they're doing. If you want to be nice to them, I'm sure they'll accept anything that you might throw in their direction. They'd be very happy to receive anything from you. But anyway, check it out. You guys are great. You're great. This is a really fun thing. You're doing a really cool thing. And 5 years, you got a lot of work ahead of you in the next 5 years. You realize that, right? Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm just reminding you, that's all. Yeah. You're ready. You're ready. All right. I'm just going to go over a few upcoming events here. We continue to do Farm to Fork Fondos. And Fran and I did our first one this past weekend down in Virginia. It was beautiful. Very, very nice. And if you go to those, your old pal, Peddlin' Ron, and co-host Fran will be there to greet you, which is very nice. The Bicycle to Work week is over, but it is still Bike to Work month through the month of May, so keep that in mind. And June 16th, 2018, you can ride around the Quabbin Reservoir in Rutland, Mass., and that's a really cool ride. It's very pretty up there, really, really beautiful. The Seven Lakes ride is on June 24th. That is also another relatively local ride right here. And there's a 62, a 45, a 20, and a 25-mile ride there. Very, very nice. The Thread City Cyclers are putting on their Thread City Century ride on July 28th. from Garrison Field and Garrison Park in Chaplin, Connecticut. The Steeplechase Bike Tour is coming up in August, and I will have all these folks on the air with us, of course, to talk about the local rides that we have out here in beautiful northeastern Connecticut. My name is Pedlin Ron, and you've been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this live or on podcast and would like to comment, you can send me an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. And remember, you can hear past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show or be on the show as a guest, you can send an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedlin Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS, Storrs.